said, I'm going to lead you. Just follow me. So how great is our God? How great is His name? He's the greatest one. Forever the same. Yes, He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Oh, and He said, I'm going to lead you. So just follow me. Oh, yes, how great is our God. Oh, how great is His name. For He's the greatest one. Oh, yes, forever the same. And He rolled back the waters of the mighty Red Sea. Oh, and He said, I'm going to lead. Just follow me. Yes, how great is our God. Oh, how great is His name. Yes, He's the greatest.
Greatest one. Here again in the house of God, and I want to be able to do those things we've been singing about. I don't want to be afraid to trust the Lord. And I want to be able to, in the song it said that he'll set every bond set free? Every bond. Or are you bound by anything? You know, God, I was just thinking, we were singing that song, that a lot of things that binds us are not physical. There are things that, you know, mental things that happen to us. I'm not saying they're not real. You know, things that happen to us, conditions that happen to us, they could be medically or whatever. But there are a lot of things that can bind us or have us bounded up, keeping us from being free. And they're not chains. They're not bars. But we're still bound up. And I want to be able to be free from anything. I think if you're free in the Lord, even if you are in bonds or in physical bonds or chains or whatever, if you're free with God, if you have God in your heart and life to the degree to where you know that God is with you, and it doesn't matter what the physical conditions are, really. And I say that real strong, but I really believe that. I'm believing it more and more. And I know when I look around me and see all the things that happen, of course, Haiti is present in my mind. I had to thresh that out in my mind. I had to wrestle with it and thank God, you know, and question God some on it. But I have to see, you know, that God is, like we say, God rule in the kingdom of men. God knows about everything. If he knows about every hair that's not on my head is armored. If he knows about every sparrow, you know, every bird that flies out here, God knows about them, and he's concerned about them. And surely, you know, and that's my confidence in God, is that he knows. And that's why I want to, you know, because the thing about it is to be able to try to understand like God and try to understand, see it from God's point of view. Yeah, I remember Brother Tucker used to tell us about countries. We used to talk about nations, you know, the third world countries, if you want to say it that way. And he was talking about God's blessings being up on a nation even unto the third and fourth generation. And also his iniquities, you know, follow the third and fourth generations on a nation. He used to explain sometimes, why does this happen to these countries, Brother Tucker? And he would say, well, something happened back there in the past. Their leaders or whatever, and their fathers of that nation, and their grandchildren are suffering because of decisions that their grandparents made. You know, it followed them, third and fourth generations. And I'm not saying that's what's happening in Haiti, but I'm just saying that helps you. This is scripture. You can read this. And it helps you to try to understand. You know, God rules in the kingdom of men, and when you see things happen, you'll say, that just don't seem right. That don't seem fair. But I think with God, everything is fair, because God, you know, we think about ourselves, and we think about, you know, what we deserve, and we're saying that we really don't deserve anything. You know, we don't even deserve to be here, and we're here because of God's mercy and his blessings on our life. And I try to count that, you know, every day. You know, if you wake up, like someone said, on the top side of the soil, then you're blessed. You're a blessed person. And then if you begin to hear things about God and be able to get to hear his word and be able to understand a little bit about what God's plans are in this world, you're blessed. And then if you be able to have the word of God explained to you, not just from what the words say on paper, but what it means and what God is trying, the message that he's given in the words that's written on printed paper. Then you get, if you're blessed to hear that and understand it, then I say you're blessed again, you know, to be able to understand the deeper thing. You know, Jesus took his disciples aside, and some of the things that he did, they didn't understand it, and he took them aside and explained to them. You know, you take the parable of the sower. They didn't understand what he was saying, but he took them aside and explained to them a little more and told them what the soil, the different types of soil were, what the stony ground was. He explained to them. They didn't understand until he explained it to them. And even they didn't understand all that he was doing until the day of Pentecost, when he gave them his Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and their eyes were enlightened. You know, without the Spirit of God, you know, we can understand so much. But when he gives you his Spirit, then you can understand so much more. Then it helps to enlighten you about the things of God. You know, we cannot understand, you know, God and his work and what he's doing, except, you know, the Spirit of God touches our minds and our heart, and where we can even love. You know, without the Spirit of God, we can't love properly. You know, we want to have God's love in our heart. We talk about it, you know, having the love of God. But if we begin to lean on the Spirit of God and begin to press in and touch him, you know, in the Spirit, then we can learn to love. We can have that in our hearts and be able to love like Jesus loved. And to be able to, could you imagine loving somebody that's killing you, you know, making these statements like he made, that Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And you know, what an attitude, what a spirit. And that's what we are really, his people, you know, are to be, people like that, that would have that kind of heart, that kind of attitude, that kind of spirit, to be able to forgive. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive when somebody don't agree with you. You know, when you, and then you, and it's pointed out that you were wrong. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to say, oh, well, I was wrong. That's hard. The little things that we do in life that, I don't know, it seems like it's harder to forgive your loved one than somebody you don't know. But it's just the way it is. But anyway, you know, God is making it where if we get close enough to him and begin to seek the Lord in such a way, to get his Spirit and dwelling in us in such a way, that this walk with him becomes a better, you know, it becomes, it's never going to be easy, but it'll be better. It's easier to be able to walk this way and have a, Jesus walked a sacrificial, his life was sacrificial. Everything, you know, he did. You know, he didn't come here doing what he had in mind. You know, we wake up in the morning sometimes, have things in our mind to do that day. You know, I'm not saying you don't consider God in it, but I'm just saying you do. It's just natural to wake up and have things on your mind that you like to do. But I know we would be not better if we could consider God in it and ask him. But Jesus said he didn't come to do his will. He came to do the will of him that sent him to this earth. That's whose will he was doing. And like I said, we were born with a will. Well, you know, we're born of Adam. So naturally, we have our wills, you know. I mean, some of it is just bred in us. You know, we're just going to do some things. It's just the way that's the way you're born, your genetics and stuff that you're born with. And then you get ideas of your own. You come up with more ideas that you want to do things that maybe, you know, you like to do, and some things not wrong, but it's just that there are ideas, and we want to try to align our ideas with God and our life, eventually align it to where we are walking, not just doing what we want to do, but we're walking like, who was that? Was that somebody that told Peter that, you know, when he was young, he went where he would, but when he became older, then another would gird him and take him where he would not. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to let another gird us. Someone else gird us, the Lord, to where we'll be walking where we normally wouldn't walk, or we normally wouldn't want to do, the things that we wouldn't want to do, but God is helping us. And that's our endeavor. Sometimes people, you know, don't look at religion as something that just, you know, you just quote it and say it and there it is, and it's just over with, you know, like you're ready for heaven. But we found out it's not just so simple that way. It's a life endeavor to learn to live like Jesus lived, and to learn about him. Actually, it's a life endeavor. The teachings of Jesus, how he lived and he walked in this world, and his thinking and his ideas, you know, that's a life endeavor. I'm learning that somehow the light get better, I understand it better every day as I go, and I'm not sure if I live long enough to understand it all, but in this life, as we see, as we know it, but there is another life, and we believe in a resurrection that God has given us understanding about, so we're trusting God. Help us to keep trusting God. And today we're here to worship Him and lift our voices in praise unto God. And then we need to pray, of course, for our people and their needs. And Brother Smith, I understand he's been sick. Matter of fact, he may be sick right now. I don't know. But pray for Brother Smith and that God will touch him. And I don't know, you got any other reports on Haiti, Brother Smith?
Brother Green and Brother Emilio Green and Brother Elias Cipriano and Brother Calderon, we sent them over there with a $5,000 cash offering, which didn't even touch the needs, but we're afraid to send too much at one time because, in fact, I probably shouldn't even have said that on tape where it could be heard, you know, but on that well, and people are hungry right now. Said bring stuff they can eat, bread. They have a milk over there that is on the shelf, and it won't spoil. It's not refrigerated. Mm. Have that in the Dominican too. And that's what they all buy, I guess, because they can't depend on their refrigerators because their power goes out so often. But anyway, he wanted that milk, I guess because they don't have any water to mix powdered milk, and they needed it for the children, little babies. They were very appreciative, but they sent message back, said, send all the money you can get. Said, we're in desperate need over here, and we need more help. Well, we've got about well over 300 churches there, and almost all of them have more than 100 people in them. Many of them, Brother Lionel Joseph has 600 people in his church. So take $5,000 and divide it by 300 and see how far you go just with churches. That's not even $200 a church. And then divide that by 100. You know, it's not about $2 a piece. So one day, maybe we'd feed somebody. So they're in dire need. We need to keep them in our prayers. And, of course, that's all of Haiti, the churches. Port-au-Prince probably in that 25-mile radius area probably makes up of, I would say, 50 to 100 churches within a 25-mile radius of Port-au-Prince. So, and many of the churches, Brother Lionel Joseph's house was destroyed. His church is hurt worse than what we had heard it was, but it didn't collapse, but it's not safe even to go in. But many of the churches, Brother Eddie Jean Charles called me day before yesterday at 6 o'clock in the morning, and just really he was weeping. He has an orphanage. It collapsed and several of his children died, and he and his wife and children, their house collapsed on them. They got out of it, but he said, we don't have any water. They live in Carfu. We don't have any water. We don't have it. There's no soldiers here. There's no water here. There's no medicine here. There's nobody here to help us. And he had finally made his way where he got somebody. He paid somebody to call me on a cell phone that could get a signal. And he said, my body's swollen where the house fell on me, but I can't get any help. He said, I don't know if I'm going to live or not, but anyway, he said, if you can get somebody over here to help us. So anyway, we're just trying to get those messages to many people as we can, but they certainly cherish our prayers. And I don't know how many of you have stopped long enough to think about your house collapsing on top of you and your whole family, and you trying to get your kids out from underneath rubble and not being able to. And then Brother Green and Brother Leah said, it stinks so bad of those dead bodies. It's everywhere underneath all them buildings. He said, it's just all you can do to breathe. He said, it's really, really difficult to go over there and see all that and experience it. So I'm glad God's touching people's hearts to help them. And I don't know, you know, what the answer is to it. But all I know is right now, in our present distress, we need to be praying, and we need to be considering that God, you know, is speaking to this world, and this ought to bring up the fear of God in people. They ought to consider, in the day of adversity, consider that we need God's covering, we need His help, we need His blessings. And so let's be sure to pray. There are just too many needs to mention all of them, but it's a there, we've got more people going over there tomorrow. They're in the Dominican Republic today, and we'll get more offering to them. So just keep praying, and whatever God lays on your heart, well, to give, well, we'll get it to them. We're trying to make sure we got good accountability. We're getting signed receipt of money that's handed over to those elders over there, and pray for them that God will give them wisdom to how to handle all that, and that God will help them to find everybody that needs found, like Brother Eddie Gene Charles. He hadn't been able to find anybody yet, and he's in need. So, but we heard also from some sisters that several sisters in the body that are shut off to themselves and can't get any help. They don't have any water, no medical help, and they don't have any means of going anywhere, and they're just asking for water, if somebody can get water to us. So let's pray this morning for these precious people. They're in this same body you and I are in.
Overwhelming. Let's think about it. I know we have other needs here locally. Sister Elsie, your family. All right, remember Sister Elsie's family. And also, before we go further, a visiting couple here, Sister Brittany's grandparents. And Brother and Sister Brown, that right? From Houston, Texas. Good to have them here. God bless y'all for being here. And we're just Sister what? With Brother Sister Hutchison. Lauren White. Good to see you, Lauren. Good to have you here today. God bless you.
And Linda, Sister Linda's got a
visitor.
I don't remember the name. I'm sorry.
Renata Douglas.
Renata, with
Renata.
And
okay. God bless you.
She's been here before. I asked her why she hadn't been back. She said she was sort of between churches.
Between churches.
I said, well, where are you now? She said, right now she's here. So we're sure glad to have her.
Praise the Lord. Good to have you. All right, Sister Lisa. Your teacher. Husband died. All right, remember Sister Lisa's teacher. Teacher. Remember that family. All right. Sister Abraham. Unspoken. Yes, ma'am. Brother Stewart. Okay. Hear that, Brother Smith?
Yes. Those that wasn't here Wednesday night or didn't get the message, we're right now what we've been doing, of course all the home folks here know that we have a missionary work in the Dominican Republic. I do. It has about 15 to 20 churches in it. And Haiti, a lot of people don't know the Dominican Republic and Haiti is on the same island. It is about, at the widest point, about 160 miles wide. And it runs west, east and west. And it's about 350 miles long. And the western one-third of the island is Haiti. And the eastern two-thirds is the Dominican Republic. And we have a missionary account here in this church for the Dominican Republic. And Brother Emilio Green, which is one of the leading ministers over there, he signs on that missionary account. And when they need money, which is, well, not when they need money, but when we're able to give them money. They need money all the time. But I call him, talk to him, of course, every week, several times. And as the needs present themselves, I'll tell him to write a check for so much money, and then we transfer money in that account that he writes on. And we have a rapport with the bank and the exchanges over there that he can cash a check for any amount of money at any time. And so right now, there's not hardly any way to get money to Haiti. So right now, they've been sending money to Mission Voice and the churches that I oversee in Canada. Raised $5,000. They've sent money here. Wichita sent money. Of course, we've got money. Republic sending money. Mission Voice sent $3,000 last week. And we had Brother Green write a check and hand carry it over there. It's about a 6-hour drive for them. And they spent 2 days over there. So right now, you can write a check. Write it to First Gospel Church and mark it for Haiti. It'll all go into that. Let me explain this since I'm into it. We have another account that's a special account. We've moved all of our missionary money. Actually, we didn't have to move any. We were out of money just about. So, but all the missionary money for the Dominican Republic will go into the special account for right now. And all things marked Haiti will go into the missionary account so that Brother Green can write checks. And then we're getting whoever receives that money to sign a receipt so that we've got good accountability and good paper trail records for what we're given. But you can write your checks just to First Gospel Church, but mark it in the memo for Haiti. Or write it, First Gospel Church Haiti, right on the pay to order sign. We can endorse it that way. That's fine. Brother Stewart, this offering right here is for tithes and offerings for the church. We'll take up a separate Haiti offering later in the service today.
Okay. Any other prayer request? Sister Oates. Tommy, Brother Oates is sick today. Remember him. Pray for him. Brother Stewart. Brother Wallace. Sorry. Sister Debbie. Remember Sister Debbie today. I know Brother Daniel wrote a note in Wednesday night, but I'm not sure if he He called in or what, but anyway, remember Brother Daniels and Brother Painter. Parker. Yes. Yes, Sis McGowan's here. How's he doing, Sis Anne? Okay. All right, let's remember Brother McGowan. Pray for him. Brother Boyd? Sick, all right. Remember Brother Daniels? Brother Ray Weaver? All right, remember Brother Ray and Sister Susan? Sister Ann? Brother Paul? Okay, remember Brother Paul Thompson's back. Sister Kinger, remember her back. She's having problems, so pray for these needs. Yes.
Books and everything, and turn Hallmark Channel on for, you know, hoping she'll stay still while I'm gone. But pray for her, because that's not good. And I just really felt I needed to come this morning, but I hated to leave her. But she wasn't as shaky. But, you know, for her, if I get it down to 235, I'm doing good. But for her to have, after eating and everything and being up for a little while, being down to 108, which 108 is good for a normal person, but then in less than 20 minutes, it shot up to 220 to 245, and that was after medication. So y'all pray for her. She did have a urinary tract infection, but that's cleared up. So a lot of times something else is going on, and especially with her age being 88, six to be 89. So y'all pray for her, and that she'll be fine when I get home this afternoon.
All right. Remember, Sister Smith, I can relate to some of that blood pressure. Yes, ma'am.
Pray for a consultation with her heart doctor. She has a pacemaker, and the oncologist has put out two options to do either surgery and chemo or do radiation. Right. So after she has her heart doctor visit, then I guess they'll determine what they're going to do.
Okay.
Just keep her in your prayer. She's still, right. You know, her. She's encouraging everybody else when she's going through this.
Good
awful
attitude.
Time.
Wonderful attitude. Yeah. Sister Aunt Susie, remember her, Sister Smith, at Brother Smith's mom. Keep praying for her and Sister Alex. Mm-hmm. This is Sister Joanne now. Oh, okay. So, okay. All right. Did the young folks go to base too?
Yes.
Good. Very good. Brother Smith, he's asking for a report, okay? The ones that went to Batesville last night. Keep that in mind. So, Sister Wilkins. All right. All right. Remember, Sister Wilkins and her grandsons. All right. So let's be mindful of these. I know we spent, it seemed like a short time in prayer, but let your heart reach out to especially Haiti and the people over there. And then, you know, our needs. I know all just what we heard here tonight today is widespread. It's could be overwhelming. But we're serving a God that what we just heard, these requests. And even the needs in Haiti is not too great for God. And that's the attitude we should have when we begin to pray to God. Knowing that he knows about it, but then if he knows that our hearts are touched by it, and that we're reaching out to him for our brothers and sisters and their needs, and that's the way we are to look to the Lord here today. And I know it's overwhelming. I'm waking up every day, you know, thinking about people, you know, in Haiti. I've been over there, you know, and I knew it was poor already. I was over there. We stayed in a motel, and we would get up in the morning, and I went over there with Brother Tucker when he was living, and also with Brother Lineker, and we'd get up in the morning. You know, we're not rich people, but there were people, you know, outside the gates at the motel. You know, some of them was asking for money for things that they had, their craft that they had made, and they want, you know, some money, you know, to help them with that. You know, you're exchanging something, but some of them didn't have anything. They just wanted money. But they was outside the gates at this motel we were staying in when we got up in the morning. Every day we was there, they'd be outside the gate when we wake up in the morning, you know, asking for money. And it's kind of heart-wrenching, really. I don't know. I know several people been over there. But I've been over there, and it was just, if you had it, you know, I mean, you could give out all you had, or millions of dollars, and not touch, not reach everybody. But the thing about it, while I'm looking at it, I have to wrestle with these things, because it touches me in such a way to know that, you know, I know there are people in the world, you know, that's hurting and have problems, but these are people that here in the, that's sharing the same message that we're sharing. You know, they're our brothers and sisters. They're understanding. And I mean, just say, I know we need to go pray here. We are going to pray. But I was thinking one time, this is probably the first time I went over there, and they told us not to drink the water over there because, you know, the Haitian people used to drink it, and it doesn't bother them. But you're not used to it, so you're probably going to get sick if you drink it. So don't drink it. So anyway, I had the meeting. They was trying to display the body spirit that we, you know, give to our visitors and give them first. And, you know, what did they do for us? They gave us Coke. And here they was, they didn't have Coke, right? But they gave that to us. And if that doesn't do something for you, you know, I mean, that was my experience. You know, it's hard to handle things like that. And if you, you know, and they're doing this to help you, you know, to show the love that you would show had they come to your visitors, if they were your visitors. We were like a visitor to them. We were visiting their country, and they were trying to extend love to us. And it was so touching. But anyway, let's remember these needs today, and pray for God's people. And pray with understanding that God knows what they're going through and what we're feeling. So let's stand, and Brother Tyrone. This week. All right, remember Brother Tyrone.
Brother Ron Johnson.
Yes, Brother Ron Johnson, his wife. All right. Okay, let's reach out to the Lord today. Lord, we thank you. And we'll come before you, O God, this day. Knowing, O Lord, that you can help every need, every situation that we're facing and your people are facing. Lord, help us at our hearts. Hallelujah. Jesus. Praise your holy name. Oh, bless it to you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Blessed be your holy name. Lord, help your people. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your holy name. Oh,
hallelujah.
Praise God. Oh, Jesus. precious Savior. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Oh, blessed be your Holy Spirit.
Feeling at home. in His love. Warming myself by the fires of His Spirit, camping right close to the throne, just a feeling at home. Needed and happy and free, just a feeling at home. Feeling at home. Feeling accepted, loved and forgiven, a part of His warm family, just a feeling at home. Feeling at home. I'd find what I found, contentment and peace from above. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, laying way back in His love. Warming myself by the fires of His Spirit, camping right close to the throne, just a feeling at home. Find what I found, contentment and peace from above. Feeling at home in the presence of Jesus, laying way back in His love. Warming myself by the fires of His Spirit, camping right close to the throne, just a feeling at home.
Apologize to you in advance for my voice. I'm just I have trouble with sinus anyway, but I've got a head cold and a chest cold, and that I can't seem to shake it. Anyway, I'm thankful today to be in the house of the Lord. I appreciate knowing Him and having His covering over my life. I know we've taken a lot of time in this service concerning Haiti, but it's on everyone's minds right now, and it should be, I think. I think that when we had the Hurricane Katrina, when we had 9-1-1, that affected people for a little while. And this won't have as great an impact on people as it should have, because people in this world are calloused. They're calloused over to the things of God. These sort of things ought to put us back on our knees and fill the churches up. You should have walked in here this morning and had to have someone put out a chair for you to find a seat. And there should be, every church in town ought to be full today. Because we ought to have more fear of God. There's a scripture that I want to read to you, and I'm not going to take a lot of time, but I do want to say a few words. I was thinking of the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt and was in the wilderness. Uh, how they wasn't in the wilderness very long that they run into a lot of trials, a lot of problems. And many of them were, you know, wishing that they hadn't left Egypt. But they couldn't see God's hand in what he was doing. And even though many people lost their lives, even in the wilderness, God was working something for the good of the nation, good of the people. And if you want to just look with me in Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, see, man has a hard time of recognizing God. When the Bible talks about fear God. The knowledge is the beginning of wisdom, and wisdom is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. You start learning about him, and that, by the way, to fear God doesn't mean to be necessarily afraid of him because he's mean. He's not. God is love. But it means to reverence and respect God as the authority and source of all life and all creation. He's the one that's in charge of all of this, and if we don't recognize him, we'll suffer for it greatly. But he's so merciful, he's so tender, and full of patience and long suffering that a lot of time people don't recognize that God is trying to turn them around back towards him, getting their life under his direction, his purpose. I mentioned here, but I mentioned also while I was in Florida last weekend, that if it wasn't for God's people, God would have already destroyed this world. If it wasn't for his purpose in bringing his people to righteousness, God wants everybody. There's a scripture that says it's not the Lord's will that any perish, but that all would be saved. It's not God's will that any be lost, but the Lord's not going to force righteousness on anyone. He's not going to force life on anyone, but he's not going to allow forever for man to live on this earth and live in a perverse or froward attitude towards him. God's going to get, he's going to fulfill his plan, and every one of us have an opportunity and a calling to be a part of that. And did you know that, everybody? The whole world's called. God's calling the whole world. Come, whosoever will, and drink of the water of life freely, the scripture says. That's a call, but for you to be chosen, you have to say yes to the call. So you can be called of God and not answer the call. You can not be chosen and just be called. And then even after you answer the call, you have to be faithful. Book of Revelation says that those that were with the Lord, and that was in the final battle, were the called, chosen, and faithful. You have to remain faithful if you're going to stay chosen. You know, God, this is a progressive salvation. God, you just grow like a little child. And it progresses as God wants you to grow more. He causes that to happen. He works on your life. He deals with you. He fills you with good things. It'll cause you to grow spiritually, and He'll require more of you. As you grow, there'll be more required of you, but it'll just add blessings. It'll just add wisdom to your life, good things. In the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, in the first verse, it says, "All the commandments which I command thee this day shall you observe to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers." By the way, that was just the promised land as we know it, or Canaan, but it's a type. It's a type of eternal life. It's a type of God's eternal purpose. That God, this wasn't just written for them, but the writers of the New Testament said they're in samples, they're examples to us. It's written down for us to get something out of it. That God sent them into a land to possess it, but He first took them to a wilderness. Verse 2 says, "And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee." See the purpose? "And to prove thee, and to know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep His commandments or no." So God had a purpose for taking them through the wilderness condition. They found themselves without water. They found themselves hungry. They found themselves in battle with people in the wilderness that attacked them. Remember the Amalekites attacking them, and Moses stood up on a rock and held his arms up, and when his arms got tired, he'd start letting them down, and when he let his arms down, Amalek would prevail and Israel would start losing the battle. And wasn't it Aaron and Hur that would stay his arms and push them back up? And when they'd hold his arms up, Israel would prevail. And God was teaching them a lesson in that. That number one, what Moses was doing was he was looking to God for victory. He was looking for God to get them through the trial. You say, well, why didn't God, you know, kill the enemy? Why did they have to, many people die? Why did they have to go through that trial? Because they needed to be humbled to a point that they would learn how to look to God and depend on God. You know how many people today were spoiled in America? It's why this country's turned their face on God. This country's in trouble. Because anytime the President of the United States would stand up and say, This is not a Christian nation, we're in trouble. We're in trouble. When our leaders do that, because this nation